We are back at SFX Studios here in Pensauken, New Jersey, home of Devin Wade.
It's home of the motherfucking party nerds now.
It's the party nerds' new home. We just came back from New York Comic Con. We had a ball. The whole squad was up in there. And look, that was my first New York Comic Con. I had a blast up there, man. It's an experience. If you've never gone to a con, period, you have to go to some type of con. I suggest it for everybody. Mm-hmm. But New York Comic Con, yes, that's one you definitely need to have a presence at. I mean, the cosplay is ridiculous, man. Shout out to anybody up there that came and cosplayed, because y'all did y'all thing, man. People rocked out. Bravo! We got the fam in the house. Bravo! We got Bravo in the house. Bravo was up there cosplaying. Mm-hmm. Deadpooled out.
Venom Pool.
He rocked it out. Yeah, that was nice. You made a nice costume. I got to give you your props for that.
Thank you, man.
That was all Bravo's handiwork, and he rocked out with that.
Thank you.
We got your boy Ed.
Your boy Ed's in the house. What's up, man? I felt like this year's New York Comic Con was the best for a gamer's perspective, especially with the Capcom being there with Resident Evil, Kingdom Hearts, especially with AJ here.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a lot going on with New York Comic Con. It was like, I think it was the most jam-packed 4 days I've ever experienced at any convention. Because usually I'll try to go to ones all the days, but this year was just, there. Everywhere I went, there was something you had to do, and it was almost like blinking and you miss it if you had to miss something. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was nice, nice. Then we got Babs the Butcher.
Here I am.
Babs is up there cosplaying, what, 4 days of cosplay?
All 4 days cosplay.
Four different cosplays you did?
That's right.
Rocked them out. You did a Colossus, which is dope.
Yeah, that one seems to be the crowd pleaser.
Yo, yeah. It's classic Colossus.
I didn't think anything could top Wasp, but, you know, the people have spoken and they like Lady Colossus.
Yes, I was a huge Colossus fan from the comics, and that's one of my favorite cosplays. And I'm a huge fan of your Wasp cosplay. Mm-hmm. That is spitting image, man, of Evangeline Lilly.
So. And also the fact that her Colossus actually got on IGN's page in terms of like their cosplay collages, best cosplays from
Comic-Con.
That
means party nerds have been on IGN 2 years in a row with our cosplays.
There you go. Yo, we made it.
Sci-Fi Wire, too.
Sci-Fi Wire, but I got to check that out.
Two of my cosplays are on there.
So you did Wasp, you did Colossus, you did...
The very first day I did a Venom-inspired look. This is the first time I ever commissioned anything. A local businesswoman, entrepreneur, Megan McGuire, she has her own company, Wire. She makes like glam outfits and like leotard type things, bodysuits. And I said, how would you like to delve into cosplay? And this was absolutely brand new. Can you imagine introducing someone who doesn't know about cons, doesn't know about cosplay or anything in nerd fandoms and saying, hey, a bunch of people are going to go nuts for something that you're going to make. So she made a custom suit that was Venom inspired. I added the thigh high boots that had the claws on them and a little bit of the detailing, and then created that kind of drag inspired makeup look and with the, hair down the side and using liquid latex all around the face and body.
And what was the fourth one you did?
The fourth one was Jester. The Critical Role cast was at New York Comic Con. They're a huge sensation bringing Dungeons & Dragons back to the forefront, making it cool again. And I decided to do one of the characters, Jester, which was a huge hit. And, the Critical Role fandom is so welcoming and supportive. So it was a great cosplay.
Nice job. Babs, someone here was like, oh my God, I saw Colossus. Sexy nerds saw you there. So I guess your Colossus is pretty popular.
I appreciate all the love I got from it. Yeah, I really didn't think I'd get this type of reception. So anybody who has as much love as I do for Peter Rasputin, I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
And then we got your boy AJ.
Yo, what it do?
What's going on, man?
Yo, my legs hurt.
Yo, me and AJ rocked out on Saturday over at the Garden with some of the panels, man. We did Into the Spider-Verse panel.
Into the Spider-Verse is going to be
that fire.
Top three of my personal favorite movies of this year, if the rest of the movie's like the first 35 minutes. In my opinion, next to Infinity Wars, it might even be my favorite superhero of the movie of the year.
And that's saying a lot.
If it's as good as the first 35 minutes, they could completely drop the ball in the second, like, two-thirds. But based on the music, the comedy, the writing, the voice acting, like everything about that movie is just like very fresh to me.
Yeah, yeah. They showed the first 35 minutes of Into the Spider-Verse for that panel. Yo, and that shit, I'm telling you, I'm Devin, you're going to like this movie.
I believe it just from seeing that. Is that the same thing from the clip that they showed after the trash?
Yep. Okay. We'll talk about the trash. Yes. But we'll get back to
No, you agree.
No, yes. I don't agree. Okay. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
And we got Devin Wade here also. Devin.
Yeah, man.
Devin was up at Comic-Con.
Yo, what the fuck? What's so funny about this?
What's this laughter? What are you talking about?
Yo, this dude has got the fucking giggles.
Yo, it's so funny because we're up at Comic-Con and I was doing my Larry Cage. So Larry Cage was up there doing interviews. And my producers, Jorge and Devin, you know, behind the mic are supposed to feed me information when I do interviews. Set me up with that interview.
No, story is going to be hilarious.
I don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that, man.
I don't want to hear that either because they set me up. Set me up.
Nobody set him up. This is what happened. I thought him being a black dude, he would have some information on, you know, Bruce Leroy and the whole Last Dragon, the history of it and everything like that. Oh, you did grow up watching it, right?
I grew up watching it multiple times, plenty of times. Okay. I love Bruce Leroy showing up, all that stuff.
Okay. Vanity was one of my first, like, crushes of life all day. Bruce Leroy was my first fake sensei. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm watching the TV doing all the shit he's doing. I thought I would get the glow. I thought it was possible to get the golden glow where the arms would do all of that shit. That. You feel what I'm saying? Had me dressing up like a ninja from the scene where they went to get their get back on show enough. All of that shit.
I dressed up as Bruce Leroy for Halloween.
So throughout life, you hear news about what happened to the different people that were on, you know, in that movie. We know that a lot of people in that movie passed away. Jerv, a.k.a. fucking Larry Cage, goes to interview Ty Mac. He went to go interview Ty Mac. Ty Mac was gracious enough to give us the interview with people all around and everything like that, you know, that were trying to meet him. Gave us the interview. And to Jerv's credit, Jerv says, what happened to that punk ass nigga showed up that you had beef with?
No, you did not.
Now, mind you, this is the one thing I will say. Ty Mac comes across the few times I've met him as a kind of very serious guy in a sense. You know what I mean? So he didn't look at it from a character point of view and say, oh, yeah, show enough, we still got beef. He looked at it like the show enough is the actual actor that was in the movie.
His buddy, his friend.
His friend. So he said, nah, man, you got to relax. Show has passed away, you know, he's moved on, whatever. So it was like okay. So then, you know, he said,
He went to second gear.
He said, whatever happened to that fine ass bitch that you was fucking with in the movie?
Now you Jarvis. Jarvis.
So then he's like, Vanity is passed away, she's moved on and went to a better place and everything, you know, and he's like trying to be cool about it, but I feel like he wants to hit you with a fucking spin kick.
That's what I felt. And so, then I look over at Devin and Jorge and they're like laughing, and then they look at me like kind of start to shake their head.
I'm like, this motherfucker is going this just in the darkest realm.
So I hit third gear.
So then he said,
of course you hit third gear. Jesus Christ.
So what's up with your little brother from the movie? I said,
Devin's like, how?
Why not ask things about the movie? Ask him about, is he still doing martial arts? Is he teaching? Ask things about the how he felt making the movie and his place in like urban culture. This motherfucker's just asking, how's this dead person?
So he went to Larry for his own good kind of thing?
And in the way he went about it, it's just like that fine piece of ass. That just, and it's just like, you, G.
You said every wrong thing.
So basically, he said, listen, you know, all right, my man, this interview is over.
You know, gracefully pushed
me out of his way. He went to ask another question. He said, no. this thing is done. You got to do your research before.
And that's why we're never getting press passes again.
I just want to say my interview with the Cobra Kai cast and writers went phenomenal.
I want to hear about that because I was mad as fuck that you fucking met Johnny, you bastard.
Bro, not only did I meet Johnny, me and him actually chatted for a little bit off the record. He's so chill. He was really, really excited to hear how like I had been in martial arts since I was 4 to 22, how I was teaching. He was like, that's so cool. But I got to say, the highlight of the entire interview actually wasn't the interview. It was at the very, very end when everybody was taking pictures and they were all done. One of the women that was also a reporter at the same table as me wanted to get a signature from Ralph and Johnny. So she runs up and is like, can I get a signature? Can I get a signature? And Ralph, to his credit, was being very, very professional, but his assistant was pushing him through, as a good assistant should, and was like, sorry, he's got a really busy schedule to keep. So he passes on, and Johnny just kind of like gives like a head tilt, like a what? And then like grabs the Sharpie from her and signs the woman's poster and like kind of gives like a this guy type of deal.
Oh, don't do like, that to LaRusso.
No, like I said, that like... Listen, LaRusso was being super, super chill. Ralph Macchio was being super, super chill about the whole thing. But I just thought it was hysterical when you look at their parts in Cobra Kai, how Daniel-san is now super Hollywood and can't be bothered with things. And meanwhile, Johnny's like, you know, listen, man, we got to help out people. And he'll start to get agitated when he starts to get a little bit beyond that because then everybody started to ask for pictures. And he like looked at me. I was like, I will hold you up. He's like, my man. Because I already got my photo with him. He was so chill, man. The interview was so cool. But one thing that did upset me about the interview, the writers believe the face kick was legit.
What? Oh, in the actual... that it was legal?
Yes.
Okay.
The showrunners and the writers, they were like, well, it's all legal, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get a chance to ask Ralph Macchio. But when I asked Johnny, he was just like, yeah, man. I mean, I elbowed him. That was illegal, but
hold on, but
he
didn't deserve to win. Did somebody else get hit with a kick in the face in that montage of fights?
But, and that was actually Ralph Macchio's favorite part of the entire filming, has when his character was introduced, it was Ain't That a Kick in the Head song playing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He said that was his favorite thing about the entire series.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Shout out to Eight and Sam Beer Company out here in Woodbury, New Jersey. There are sponsors here. We got some of the good stuff. We got the number 2. We got the double IPA. We got the Zug.
I don't got one. What the fuck? You're supposed to ask, man. Take one.
Oh, we got some over here.
I thought you just automatically hit whatever the new flavor is.
The mystery beer.
What the fuck is this?
that's the surprise.
Bro.
Wait, does it say surprise?
Wait.
Took the label off and made it a surprise.
Look, man.
You gonna like it.
Who the fuck is behind this? Because
you like all of them.
Listen, bro, I don't even know if this is insane company, man.
It is.
You got me drinking some goofy shit.
It is.
He opens it up. Yo, surprise, it's a Zima.
Yeah, man. This is the no-frill shit. Like, when we used to go to the store and they had, like, Captain Crisp. Yeah. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
Do you want me to taste test it for you?
Here we go.
Get busy.
Oh, wait. Let's see if I can guess which one it is.
Just by smelling it?
Oh, I can tell what that is right now.
It's a beer. Yeah, you're the one who took off the label,
it's
right?
A beer. Nah.
Probably some bullshit.
Oh, it's sweet. It's
sweet.
Look, man.
It's not an IPA.
Nah. Oh, that's the holiday special. That's the sweet potato beer. That's good.
Yes, it is good.
You'll like
that. Wait,
that's good. That's the sweet potato beer.
This shit is fucking party nerd motherfucking approved.
Hells yeah.
Yo, y'all motherfuckers ain't gonna drink up all my beer.
That was not what I expected.
That's all right there. That's good.
So we're talking Comic-Con, but we're also going to talk Venom. So we'll jump into Venom first, and then we'll finish it up with the Comic-Con talk.
Yeah.
So Venom dropped this weekend. I think we all saw the movie. We all had expectations before the movie. There's a lot of stuff. The first reactions came out, and people were really shitting on this movie from the beginning. They said they compared it to Catwoman with Halle Berry. Now, that's a steep...
Now, yo,
that's a slope.
I'm going to keep it 100. Bottom.
Wait, are we talking no spoilers?
No, we spoil everything.
If they listen to this show, they know. Like we don't even say spoiler warning.
They know. We talking about it. We spoiling it.
All right. Yeah. Well, for anybody who's curious, we're going to spoil.
Yeah. We're spoiling. For the people that said, I mean, earlier I said it was trash. I was just fucking being a fucking dickhead. It's not trash. It's
garbage.
It's like, no. It's kind of like, you know how like you didn't throw the trash out all the way. You got like a small, like a waste basket, and you put in like papers in there, but it's nothing dirty. It's nothing dirty. It's just
recyclables.
Do you know it?
Yeah, it's recycling.
This shit is fucking recyclables, man. Wait, you're fucking wrong.
This movie, number one, is an entertaining movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. Yes, it's got.
Is it really entertaining?
Yes, it's an entertaining movie. Yes, it's entertaining and it's a good movie. It's not a shit show like some of these other movies that have come out. It's not a piece of trash. Yes, it has plot holes. Yes, it didn't stick with the comic lore because they changed things.
Right.
But they had to because they didn't have the Spider-Man character to use in this movie. The way they changed it, though, it kind of fit even with the plot hole.
Listen, no. All right. So first, for the fans, because this is something that's important for us to do. We know that some people aren't as well-versed in comic books that we are. Explain to people what Venom is supposed to be.
Well, originally, Venom, there was a comic that was The Secret Wars in it where the Beyonder, this omnipotent being, pulled pieces of Earth and other planets and everything and just built this whole world, and he wanted to have heroes compete against villains. So this is this big battle. During the battle, Spider-Man's costume got messed up, and he went to this machine that fixed his costume. It was a black costume that it gave him. So he thought it was just a regular costume. He goes back home with the costume. It ends up being this Venom symbiote that's attaching to him.
It also read his mind and copied Spider-Woman's original costume. A lot of people get that confused when they see Spider-Woman and go, oh, right, she's based off of Venom. When in actuality, it's the reverse.
Okay, dope. See, I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought about that. It should have been common fucking sense.
So it was trying to bond with Spider-Man. He had went to the Fantastic Four. Mr. Fantastic helped him remove the symbiote from him. Then that's when it transgressed into all this, him hooking up with Eddie Brock and Eddie Brock becoming Venom.
Well, I'm just going to fix it real quick. They tried to remove it from him. Reed Richards tried, but he wasn't able to. So actually, for those that have seen the god-awful mess that was Spider-Man 3, I don't know what it is with Venom not being able to be in a good movie. When Spider-Man was at his lowest point, that thinking he couldn't get rid of this, he went to the bell tower at the church, and when the bell would ring, the Venom symbiote would weaken because it was susceptible to sound.
Okay, got you. So now that y'all know what Venom is supposed to be, see, what happens is companies get greedy and don't have patience. So they wanted to put out this fucking Spider-Man, other spider world shit without it being attached to fucking Spider-Man. So they put out this movie that's recyclables. This is going to be my new word. It's not all the way trash. It's not dirty trash, basically. You know what I mean? This shit could, you know, maybe be recycled into something good eventually. It's possible.
The sequel might be good.
So it's got a, yeah, it's like it's very thin possibilities. But there were other things that was wrong with this movie from a writing perspective. Some of the, it seemed like, you know how you get a movie and they'll get a whole scientific department to fucking create the jargon and make sure that the language is right. They kept it basic as fuck, man. They was just like on Rocket One. Like, they was just on some real simple-minded shit. Like, they didn't feel like doing no research.
They also couldn't even have it accurate where every single character was pronouncing the word symbiote accurately. So you had characters all pronouncing it differently.
Right. What's the proper way to pronounce it?
So it is symbiote. The reason why they were saying symbiote was because the proper term when you're referring to symbiosis is symbiosis, like bio.
Oh.
But it's the same way as when you hear scientists say evolution rather than evolution.
Yo, you too smart for this shit.
Is it really that big of a deal?
Nah, tomato. You know,
yes, it is. It's not that big of a deal, but what I have a problem is when I go to see a movie and you're talking about an alien creature, you're giving it a name. You're not referring to like something that everybody's using as commonality in language, as science terms. You're talking about the name of a creature, and everybody in the movie is pronouncing it differently.
And these people are supposed to be scientific elitists. I mean, so I get it. It makes sense. These people are on a whole motherfucking other level. You're right about that.
Devin, someone addressed you. They said the reviews made it seem like Venom was worse than Spider-Man 3. Would you
agree? Absolutely not. Spider-Man 3 had a motherfucking Fred Astaire singing in the rain type bullshit. Yo,
yo, that was great.
It was the bro, don't stop playing. Yeah,
no, AJ's only saying it's great because of the memes that came out of it.
Like, I was really about to be like, all right, this is the last fucking straw with
he's
this
not
dude.
Serious.
No. It is nowhere near. The movie is like really regular. It's a regular movie. You watched it, and I'm like, okay, cool. I watched it. Am I gonna ever watch it again? No. Very basic writing. Very predictable outcomes, you know, like the way it almost seemed
formulaic.
Unprofessional. Like when they showed the homeless lady was missing, it was so basic, like the my first fucking movie shit, bro. And then on top of that, why was his name Venom?
See, that's the thing. In the comics, he's referred to as Venom because of Spider-Man. He says, you may be the spider, but I am your Venom.
This one, it's like his name was just Venom on the planet he was on, and he didn't want to go back to his planet because he was a loser on his old planet.
And see, that's the thing. Is you could have absolutely still done this without Spider-Man. You could have absolutely done it where it wasn't an origin story. You could have had it where it was finally at the point where Eddie Brock decides he's going to be a good person. It could have been a whole redemption arc rather than Eddie Brock being this, oh, well, you know, I'm mostly good person and I don't want people to get hurt that don't deserve it, but then I'm going to eat people's heads and be okay with it.
Right.
Like, I just feel the reason that people are so upset about this is because Venom is such an iconic character. It's the same way if how I would feel if the Deadpool movie turned out to be shit.
The second one was.
PG-13.
The second one wasn't.
The second one was completely trash.
Or if Deadpool turned out to be a PG-13 movie.
Exactly.
Yo.
So that was the thing. For those of you that we didn't make this yet, right? The meme that we were talking about?
No.
Okay. Oh. So we were talking about this in the chat room a while ago, all of us party nerds, about how when any time certain movies get announced, certain companies come out, we go through like the five stages of grief. They're like, there's a point where we're like, yeah, all right, we're super excited about it, and then it's God. So we go through like denial, we go through bargaining, we go through all those stages, and then it's just acceptance where it's like, yep, it's gonna be trash. Once, and the PG-13 was that final nail in the coffin of,
and it was, and I could see where the PG-13 did really affect the movie.
Right.
I mean, guys, there's scenes in this motherfucking movie where one, he bites a dude's head off in front of the Asian lady that owns the market that
she
he goes
really
to.
Overreact.
Yeah,
she
just like,
would never speak to him again. Like, let me explain something to you. If you saw a motherfucker turn into an alien with teeth and bite a dude's head off, you would never speak. It'd just be like, okay, it's still Eddie. He's cool. No way on earth that lady would be Trump. That lady would be a fucking psychopath. She would be fucked up in the head. She's
There's not a single person on this planet. I don't care how tight you think you are with your spouse, your mother, your father, your best friend. The second that happened, and that's never like even been explained in front of them,
right,
that would be the end of the relationship.
And then it was like a video game where, you know, in a video game, you kill someone and then their body just blinks on the floor and disappears.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing of this person. No body, no blood, no nothing. She killed the motherfucker and they disappeared.
Might have been there before the edit.
It just was deleted. It was just an empty floor and a perfectly clean store for everybody, for the next shopper to come in. Number two, the fucking Eddie Brock would walk into the store, and for some reason, every time Eddie Brock walked in the store, this like loan shark guy would go into the store.
He had that gun ready.
And the thing is, he would pull the gun out on the lady every time and be like, I need my money, bitch.
Yeah.
Now, why would he have to pull the gun out every time? He would go there and say, listen, when you going to give me my money, I need that payment. He's not going to walk in there every day that Eddie Brock happens to walk in there, pull the gun out on the lady, and look like a robber in front of a window.
And not even look around for anybody else in the store. He just walked right to the register and was like, where the money at?
And pulls a gun out.
I don't want to give you the money anymore. Pulls the gun out. Like, yeah, what?
The same routine. And then on top of that, it's like, okay, this lady obviously owes this dude some money, right?
Protection money.
No, that's all it was?
Yeah, it was protection money.
It was just protection money? Yep. Oh, yeah, well, she don't owe that nigga no motherfucking money then.
Hold on, I'm going to address a comment from the Instagram section, something I wanted to bring up. Simon, with a lot of M's, says, we needed this solo Venom movie. If we attached it to Spider-Man, he would have just been a villain for that one movie, and that is it. But now we can see him in more movies to come, like Fighting Carnage, for example.
Which not necessarily true, because, you know, you could say the same thing about Loki. He could have just been the villain in that one movie, but he's been in like four or five movies at this point. So I wouldn't necessarily agree with
that. But was that intentional, or was that because a whole bunch of people were like, yo, Loki is awesome?
Right. Mm. It's more the, yo, people Loki really is love awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
yeah.
People low-key love Loki.
So, stop that, bro. Loki has a lot of history and a lot of stories in the comics with Thor, and I would say the same thing with Venom. Venom doesn't
Loki
have,
actually
like,
appeared before Thor.
See, there you go. Venom doesn't just have like that one like iconic story with Spider-Man. He's in so many different like, you know, comics. He has like his own like lore, his own history. There's like, you know, Agent Venom. There's like, you know, Eddie Brock.
He's bonded to damn near everybody out there in the Marvel universe.
There have been several hosts. And then on top of it, we recently had War of the Symbiotes. And what was the other one called? Where it infects literally every single person in the Marvel Universe.
So I have a question.
And the poisons.
Do you think they'll take a page from the Wolverine book and say, okay, now sequel, or maybe not the next sequel, but maybe sequels to come, will be rated R?
No.
No?
I'll tell you why. This is the reason why Venom number one is PG-13. Because Sony wants to have Tom Holland Spider-Man in their movies.
Oh, okay.
Marvel has a thing where Spider-Man cannot be in any R-rated movies, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. So they know if they made Venom R-rated, Spider-Man can never be in it.
Do you think everybody knows that?
No, everybody does not know that.
They need to publicize that because there was so much bad feedback because of that rating.
Right. But that's huge because now you have this movie, so they've done the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. We've made Venom PG-13. We're going to do a... If it does what it made $80 million in its opening weekend, that's good numbers.
Oh man, so, fuck all that.
But wait, it is what it is. So now if they do a part two with Carnage, see, this is my problem. You're worried about Venom. Venom is crazy, bites people's heads off, kills people. Carnage is worse. How do you do a PG-13 Carnage?
This is what I think. I think that I say this all the time about DC characters, that some things don't translate, and a lot of their characters don't translate well to the screen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's possible that Venom as a comic book translates better than it does in a movie form. You know when you watch Transformers, a Michael Bay version, you feel like it's real sloppy,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of CG shit all
over.
That's
because of Michael Bay, but continue.
No, it's because of the moving parts, how detailed he made the mechanics of the Transformers. They're not solid square blocks. They're all the pieces, as it would be in real life. So it looks junky. Venom becomes junky. Two things that can just splash at each other and like it's messy looking. You know what I mean? And when he fights Carnage, it's going to be two messy blobs splashing all over the screen at each other. And that's what it's going to be. So it might be a thing where we're not giving enough credit in this sense, or I'm not, by saying Venom's actually hard. Like he said, can we get a good Venom or whatever earlier? He might be very difficult to bring to the screen because of the nature of what the character is. Like, it's just splashy shit.
I disagree. Because there's so... Carnage doesn't just do... He has spikes, axes. He does a lot of physical animations out of them.
But in this movie, Riot had those same animations
as
well.
It still looks like drippy shit everywhere.
But it's different when they both are the same color. Carnage is red, so you see now you can see a difference in color. You have two creatures that are almost the same color.
Red and what other color, Trev?
Black like Deadpool.
You know what? There's something I want to bring up. Do you guys feel that Deadpool is going to be in the MCU?
Oh,
eventually?
No.
They I think they want to lead to that. I read some things where they're trying to make that happen, but who knows?
If they do, I honestly believe it's going to be very similar to anybody ever play the Lego games of Marvel Universe?
I played a few of them, yeah.
I feel it's going to be like that, where Deadpool's going to have cameos similar to Stan Lee. Like, he might be, like, further back in the thing. Maybe, like, one or two team-ups with other X-Men characters or something like that. But I highly doubt that he'll be a huge member of it.
You're saying about how Venom was rated PG-13. Based on the logic saying that Venom is rated PG-13, wouldn't you then say, well, he can't be in the movie? Because if they made this movie to be PG-13 because they wanted Venom to be in the MCU, wouldn't it be kind of unfair if Deadpool is in the MCU, being that it's already been rated R?
It only depends on how much he's going to play a part in
and what he does.
So if he's flipping off the camera, then yeah, no, it has to be rated R. If he comes by and he kills somebody, I mean, killing somebody nowadays isn't PG. Is PG-13.
Yeah.
A bunch of people died in Transformers and got blown up and shot, and it didn't matter. So it's just depending on how gory it is.
So real quick, who's saying there can't be a rated R MCU movie? I understand how like some MCU characters won't be in a rated R movie. Like, I don't think there's ever going to be Spider-Man in any rated R MCU movie. But once they merge, like, you know, all the Fox properties and all the Sony properties into the MCU, why can't they have like a solo Venom movie or a solo Deadpool movie be rated R, and then for like the crossover movies have that be PG-13 and just turn down those characters a little bit?
Because at the end of the day, bro, they're just looking at their metrics and shit.
But I mean, like, even look at like the Defenders and the Netflix shows. Like, there's stuff they show in those shows that they would never put
into
a movie.
No, but those are adult shows. Completely adult shows. Like, I wouldn't even let my kid watch that shit. Like, look at fucking Jessica Jones. You know what I mean? Like, the whole essence of that storyline. Those shows are grown as fuck. Right. That's not for kids. So that's the Netflix and also chill. You know what I'm saying?
And also with Netflix, you have a lot more creative liberty that you can kind of work with. Whereas if you're doing stuff for movies or doing stuff for TV, like you have those Marvel TV shows as well, like The Gifted, for example, you're constrained to specific guidelines that you have to do. Whereas with like the Netflix shows, you kind of really don't have those guidelines. You can kind of do a little more.
But it's all in the MCU at the end of the day. Like, yeah, but if you look at things about this way, you have the rated R Logan movie, you have the rated R 2 Deadpool movies, but you know, Dark Phoenix was PG-13.
Okay, so with the rated R Logan,
it's still all in the same universe.
Look, this is a question. I don't know the answer, right? How good did the Logan action figures go? Like, sell.
Oh, true. That is true.
There's more things that they make the money off of. Dog, yeah. A blanket costs more than a movie ticket.
Mm-hmm.
People, a fucking book bag costs more than a movie ticket.
A lot
ticket.
Of people forget that's how actually a lot of Saturday morning cartoons started, was just to sell the toys.
Right. Yeah.
And they got canceled when the toys weren't selling.
The toys are everything. So not just toys, all the extra merchandise. So kids aren't getting these Deadpool things, some things. You know what I mean? Deadpool's the best thing. The best they could do, because he at least has like the quirky commercials that kids can see and buy into, but they're not going to be able to just take stuff, make a Venom movie and then sell Venom toys.
Not only that, you can also make him the one exception. That's the thing.
Right.
When they start opening up with other exceptions and everything like that, they're going to run into problems.
Right.
And they're going to also kind of shoot themselves in the foot, because the problem is when you make it R, they cut off a major part of their audience that they're making their major amount of money from, not just from the movie, but from, as Devin mentioned, all the merchandising and everything. With Deadpool, you can at least say like he's the one exception, so all the parents look at it and go, oh well, it's okay, it's just this one character.
So here's a comment from the Bearded Comment. He says, one of the things he says is, I think that the PG-13 movie, The Night Before Deadpool, that's coming in December, is going to introduce us to that idea, probably what you were saying about that crossover appear that Deadpool will have outside of being like an R-rated franchise to like tie him into like Marvel's properties. This is kind of the way to do it. Then secondly, in terms of actual Sony itself, he says, Kevin Feige vehemently denies and disregards the idea of the Sony Marvelverse ever being integrated into the MCU. He seems legit insulted that they're even making these Spidey spinoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and the Bearded Comment liked Deadpool. I mean, Venom, by the way.
That's on him. I mean, look, bro, you can like what you want, Bearded Comment. Listen, I'm letting you know right now.
One more point.
The movie was okay.
One more point. Also, Epic Comment fights. Rated R movies also can't be shown in China.
So you're losing, man, bro. Look, check this out, dog. I went into this movie theater early or whatever because the party nerds were doing some flim flam shit. And I couldn't go. All right. So either way, I wasn't at Comic-Con during that time period. So I said, let me kill some motherfucking time. And I'm going to go and see this fucking Venom movie. And I thought, yo, this joint probably be all right. Jerv said it was dope.
I didn't say it was dope.
All right.
I said it was a good movie, entertaining. Right. That's what I said.
Same shit.
No.
All right. So, Jerv said it was dope. He's another bald black guy. I said, you know what, man? We're all the same. That's what they tell us.
That's not how this works.
We're all the same. So, I said, okay, let me go check out this movie. I go to this movie theater. The movie theater is weird as fuck. I'm not from New York. The shit's underground and shit. Like, what the fuck is this? They didn't have any food, and I'm hungry as fuck.
How do you have a movie theater with no food? That's how they make the majority of their money.
Listen, all they had was like nachos, like the regular nachos with the cheese. I'm lactose intolerant, but I'm hungry as fuck. So I eat these nachos.
Flim flam.
Listen, man, farting is not the problem. So, you know, normally, man, when you're watching a movie, if you got to go to the bathroom, you want to blow your head off, or you would rather detach your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me put my ass in the trunk. You know what I mean?
Miss any of the movie.
Right. Man, I bounced from that movie for like 25 minutes, dog, to handle my B.I. I didn't give a fuck. I wasn't even, like, rushing to get back. When I got back to the movie, this one older guy that was in the movie theater, he's watching the movie. He must have thought that if he changed his seat, that the movie will get better. Because this motherfucker sat in 8 different seats. He would just watch for 15 minutes, you know.
Was he trying to find a different view?
He was trying to find an angle that made this shit dope, bro. And he could not find an angle. I came back into this movie, sat down, Jorge's in there watching it. And it's all these Venoms fight. It's Venom is fighting another Venom. And it just felt like not 90s because of the way it looked, by how they wrote the basicness of the story. I was like, let me guess. So that Venom right there is probably the scientist guy that was that brought the symbiotes in the first place. And Jorge looked at me and was like, yeah. I was like, this shit is like, feels like it's not trash like Ninja Turtles 1990 or nothing like that, but the writing is on a basic level like that, and they don't fill in shit. Like, so these symbiotes, they never told us how they like contained them, like right. how they were able to put them right. in these fucking, you know, those things they put sneakers in now that look cool and shit, these cylinder shits, fucking big ass oversized Pringles, clear Pringles bottle and shit. They had the symbiotes inside these things, but didn't explain how they got them in. And then at one part, it was real fucked up. They have it in this container.
Oh, my God.
And it's containers in a room. And then they take homeless people off the streets and shit, and then they get them to sign a waiver and throw them in this room. And they open the container remotely.
Yep.
The symbiote comes out, jumps in motherfuckers, and decides, like, I don't like this body. This car is whack, basically, and kills the person, and that's it. And then they said, next subject, send it the next test subject. I'm like, well, how the fuck do you even open the door? How do you put it back in the box? Like,
that's a huge plot.
Sonics, man.
No.
They know it's weakness.
No, see, that's the thing. It is, so for the past few years, I've really delved into writing fiction and everything, and I've gone more into listening to other people and figuring out where my stories connect and how certain plot holes. There are some times where you can just kind of ignore it, like, but then when they're like waving you in the face, like, why would you give a 12-year-old girl the ability to manipulate time or something like that? Or can we have used this to prevent like other moments? Things like that create massive plot holes. Venom had so many plot holes that it was just like, they never even questioned it. They never even were, they just were like, yeah, and here's the story and that's it. All right, well, nope. No more. I've written. Let it be done.
So it is written.
So it shall be done. A lot of you guys were talking about like, you know, this movie should have been rated R. Now, let's say we had the same writer, the same director, the same actors, the same like people composing the soundtrack, like the same exact crew, but they had the freedom to make it R. Do you really think like adding extra gore or making the violent scenes even a little more violent?
I think it would have been a little better. And that was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been a little bit better. I think it would have been a little more tolerable. And I think all of the fanboys that are rightfully upset that one of their favorite characters was ruined.
Fangirls, too. Oh.
Fanboys.
Fan people.
Oh, fan people, it's 2018. However you identify your fan self.
Nah, it would have been the same movie, except you'd have sold more blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at least that would have just made it make a little more sense, at least.
Because of who the character
Why
is.
Why was Venom like Venom had a crush on motherfucking, on his girl and shit. Like,
let me give you relationship advice.
Like, yeah, Venom was really trying to, like, he was really on some Maury shit. Like, he was like, Maury Povich out this bitch.
PG-13.
The more you talk about this movie, the more I want to see it sooner rather than later. Like, I haven't seen it yet, but, like, it sounds like a movie I would
fuck
with
heavy. It was one part where he looked in a fucking mirror.
Yeah.
It wasn't a mirror. It was a car reflection. And he saw what Venom looked like.
He saw the symbiote, yeah.
But Venom wouldn't know what it looked. It didn't make sense. He never turned into it to see it first.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are following,
his eyes were venomized.
No, is no. If you were blind, you would never know what you look like.
And that's the thing. It's
fucking
is,
dumb.
No, the way you that can they get around did, that easy.
The way they did the whole symbiote part actually.
That to his brain, he's part of him.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys.
He didn't turn first and see himself. Neither one of them.
He doesn't have to.
No,
he
no,
put
God,
that image in his head.
No, you're missing the entire point of it. Is you know you're not explaining to the audience why that happens. So you have to trust. Okay, well they know the comic material. The only problem with that is in the comic, that's not how Venom bonds with somebody. He can only bond from the outside of somebody. You know who bonds on the inside of somebody and is a perfect host? Carnage. He replaces the guy's blood.
Yeah.
But Venom turns into clothing. He's never inside the person. They can speak to each other somewhat telepathically, but it's not an actual bond. Right. It's considered not a perfect bond. It'd just be like if you wore an undershirt for the rest of your life. That's it.
Yeah, so what the fuck? yeah. What's up, Jerv? Explain this shit, Jerv.
It's a plot hole, bro.
It is a plot hole.
It's a because fucking whole street full of plot holes. Your alignment is fucked up.
That's the
You're
problem.
You're driving down this road. Your fucking car is screaming.
That's the problem I have
Camden
with it.
Streets.
If you're going to change things, that's fine. But you also have to teach the audience what your world is about. If you're not teaching the audience, then they have to go off of the source material. If they're going off the source material and it contradicts what your regular material is, that's just bad writing.
Doesn't have to go off the source material if the movie they're making it for aren't people who are reading the comics.
But right, then you have to teach the audience, which was exactly my point if you had listened to me.
Wait, everybody saying tell him Bravo, blame Avi Arad. Is he the producer for everything?
Avi Arad?
Yeah.
He's a Sonyverse guy.
So what would you give Venom? Scale of 1 to 10?
I'd give it like a 6.5. I mean, it wasn't a bad...
That's fair.
I went into it thinking it was going to be like, oh, yeah, man, it's going to get trashed. Like, the Catwoman comparisons. Oh, and also the smear campaign with the whole saying, screw Venom, go see Lady Gaga's movie. That whole shit that happened.
You're worried that your movie is going to do bad, maybe just your movie's going to do bad.
Yeah.
Like, if you're that worried that you need to trash another movie, your movie's probably bad.
Can I put some input on this movie real quick?
Yeah. All
right.
Yeah. I'm going to hold this. Go ahead.
All right. So this is what I got to say about it. I fully expected to hate this movie. I actually posted on the Party Nurse page talking about how the smear campaign. Yeah. I thought it was going to be horrible. I actually really enjoyed this movie. Now, were there plot holes and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Yes. wait. But here's my whole thing. But if you guys notice, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, all the critics gave this movie a low score. But notice, all the critics, they rate the movie early on.
Right.
But then what happens is then you get the people, the audience seeing it, and it's a lot higher. I really think a lot of these critics are kind of, they want to be safe, so they go what's trending. So if one person's like, oh, this movie sucks, next one's going to be like, yeah, it kind of sucks, you know. But then when the fans saw it and was like, oh, it's not that bad, which, I mean, it doesn't make sense at points, so you're right, Dev, but it wasn't terrible. It was entertaining. I thought it was more entertaining than Suicide Squad. Like, if you're just asking me for entertainment in general.
To your point, I went on Rotten Tomatoes now. Its tomato meter is at a 30%, meaning that only 30% of critics liked it. That's its average rating. The audience score in terms of like us, the general public, 89.
Now, this 89 thing, I don't
right, because they enjoyed the movie. It
understand.
Wasn't great.
I don't understand. The movie just had mad track. All right, Eddie Brock is a fucking reporter, and this fucking fool goes through his girl shit, who represents this firm that's doing all of this bad shit, this fucking science lab.
Yeah.
And he goes into her computer, and she just got the shit. She's real fucked up with her shit, too. Her security on her computer is extra trash to be having some top secret.
Or she probably has the easiest password in the world he knows.
But just to have her top secret. Like, this shit is so major, though. No, this is world-changing shit. This is, like, world-changing alien shit on her fucking little laptop. Fucking laptop, little MacBook Air and shit. He goes right in there, gets all of this information. She gets fired from her job and shit. He ends up getting fired from his job. I don't like when you watch a movie and it's so stupid where it's like this dude got fired and he's literally looking to wash dishes. He's a celebrity that hosts a television show. He has his own TV show. He would not be washing dishes because he got fired from that television show. He would have his own fucking blog, his own net. He would get a job somewhere else.
But hold on. In the journalism world, especially if you're trying to deal with somebody as high level as like Life Corporation, which is the foundation that you're talking about in this movie, if you're doing something like that and the company wants to shut you down, especially if you're your publication that you work for considers that possible slander because you don't have a source for right. it. If you try to go for another news source or do a blog, they're not going to trust you. So no, that actually kind of makes sense.
I don't believe that because there's too many people that are about like whistleblowing and truth sites
right.
that would hire him. I'm not saying he's going to have a major fucking job like the one he had, but he's living in a little ass apartment.
Yeah,
he would have a regular good paying job, dog. You're not gonna go from being fucking Jesse Ventura with your own show to just being like, oh,
a bum on the street.
He's circling dishwashers wanted. Cut it the fuck out, bro.
I guess if you figure as somebody who's
he'd
gone
be on an MTV on Survivor reunion with Jervis before that would happen.
Man, he'd be blackballed and wouldn't work again.
No, he's not. No.
The power
no.
of the Life Foundation, bro.
It's
big politics, man. No. You've been blackballed, man. You've been shut out of shit, Devin. You small time.
Listen, man. You're not going to get black. Guess what? If I was motherfucking got to the point where I was motherfucking that level, you can only blackball a person to a certain level. You could blackball them from the biggest league. But you cannot stop people. They're not going to say, Michael Jordan got, LeBron James got kicked out of the NBA, but he can't play and-one? And-one's not taking him? He's like the LeBron James.
And-one's paying what dishwashers is making.
No, it's not.
All right, so let's wrap that Venom up. Devin didn't like it. He
6.5 for me. I thought it was okay. I went in.
Bravo, real quick.
Exceeded my expectations.
6.
Dev?
6.
AJ didn't see it yet. Babs?
I didn't see it, but based on what I hear, my excitement for this movie is actually getting higher the more I hear about it. It sounds like a bad movie that I will thoroughly enjoy, much like Speed Racer.
I did not eat her. That is a shit show.
I love Speed Racer. I will. Speed Racer.
Are you crazy?
Is Street Fighter good?
Hold on.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to cover his face with this poster.
Oh, my God.
Don't even look at him.
I give it a 7. Like I said, entertaining movie, yes. Plot holes all over the place and everything, but entertaining movie, man. I thought it was good.
It had some good scenes. It was great. Good action. All the other stuff was good.
Babs, did you see it or no?
No. What'd you give it? Darnell's gonna give it a 9. He liked it.
Yeah. He's gonna give it that BVS number.
Okay.
So we're gonna jump on to Comic Con.
Yeah.
And we're back.
New York Comic Con. Gamers, what did y'all think about New York Comic Con?
Yep. Go ahead, you start.
Kingdom Hearts 3, that is.
Yo, hold on. Let me explain this for a moment.
Wait a minute. Kingdom Hearts 3, what about.
No. I wanted to explain something about AJ. So, while I was with Amber, my girlfriend, I got separated from them and I came back. They were with AJ at one point. And I said, yeah, what happened to AJ? I don't know. The second I got to the con, he ran towards the Kingdom Hearts thing. I think he's still there.
Yo, listen. The first Kingdom Hearts game came out in 2002. It's been 16 whole years I've been waiting for this genre to end. And it lived up to the hype, yo. It lived up to the hype. But honestly, like, it's not just the video games. Like, there was Kingdom Hearts, there was Devil May Cry 5, there was Resident Evil.
That shit looked dope, that fucking Devil May Cry.
Yeah, I was watching AJ Brock on that joint.
Devil May Cry is that fire. I'll give, like, more in-depth, like, you know, feelings about that. I did a video with the video game pals along with Ed about that.
Yep.
But even more so than that, Comic-Con is a place where people who have a common passion kind of come together. Like, while I was at Comic-Con, like, I see the nerds here, and I talk to them over chat and everything, but, like, it was the first time I was able to, like, you know, sit down and, like, spend, like, hours with Sherv in a while. I got, like, you know, dinner with, like, you know, Bravo and Rhea and Amber, like, you know, bless them. I spent time with, like, literally everyone. Like, yeah, that's what made Comic-Con great to me. A chance for me to, like, not just spend time with people I love, but to, like, you know, share a common, like, love and a unique, one-of-a-kind experience with them. And that's what makes it special.
And bed.
Oh, my God. Yo, man, that was, like, the sweetest shit.
That's a young boy shit.
Wait, his mouth. That. I was about to be like, what the fuck you going to say about that?
That's some young boy shit.
No, it's not. That's some real man shit
I agree. Wait, I will say this. I'm going to put that on a grander scale in terms of Comic-Con itself. To think that throughout the 4 days, you had at least 250,000, 300,000 people in New York City. You would think that, especially with a big crowd, big lines, crowding all over the place, it's hard to move on everybody, that people would get frustrated in something like that. Like, those kind of situations can sometimes bring out the worst in you. Everybody was so calm. There were no incidents. There was nothing to worry about. Everybody was really nice. Hey, take a picture. Hell yeah, of course we can. Can we do this? You know, everybody was very civil. So that's the one thing I always like about Comic-Con, is on a grander scale, not just from ourselves, just being able to have so many people there sharing whatever passion, whether it be for a weird movie or something like that. Like, I went to a panel for a video game, and there was one girl in there, which the only reason she was in that panel is because her and her mom liked the voice actress for the game, because she was in the soap opera, The Bold and the Beautiful. And the lady was like, "Dave, thank you for coming out." It was literally, everybody was showing love. It didn't matter what you were there for. Ooh. If you were there for one specific person and one specific person only, that made your weekend. It was great.
Dope. Yeah, nah, just to piggyback off of that, I was impressed by that too. Just no drama, man. And just the love from every, I mean, little kids dressed as Carnage and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was, like, fire. He had a fire
just
Carnage.
People really got creative with their cosplay, and you could see people put work into their cosplay and went all out. And I know we've joked about it before and everything, but, you know, you had people just cosplaying from, it could have been just, they had their face painted. But that was it. But they came for the love of this whole nerd culture, which was really dope to see. You know what I mean? And Babs had mad love out there. I mean, they was hunting her down for photo shoots and pictures, and
she was she was so popular.
Every time I saw Babs, was like, "Damn, she too Hollywood, man.
We hold on to you. You ain't breaking away from the party nerds. We gonna hold on to you and Nikki. Nikki was getting that work too. Both of y'all was putting in that
there
work.
There were moments where I would, you know, I'd be like walking, stop, and you would pass me, and I would be, you know, I'd be doing the pose, and I'd be like trying to communicate with just my eyes, like, I'll be there in a second.
So, Babs, what about your experience? Because you've done it before.
Yeah, Babs, what about your experience? Because you've done this before.
I feel like I was at a completely different con than everybody here. I wanted to experience a lot of the panels and the events, and I feel like this was more of my chance to show a few of the cosplays I've been working on over the past 6 months, and I am so, so proud of them. I'm so happy that I got to show them and collaborate with a lot of really wonderful cosplayers and artists and photographers. But man, I felt that frustration. I felt that, you know, I felt that exhaustion pretty easily. However, through the exhaustion, through the pain, there was always someone coming up and just saying something really nice. There, we did the Marvel cosplay contest, and there were two guys that came up, and they you know, came over, and they were like, Babs, you know, Babs Butcher. I said, hi, I'm about to go up. I can't. And they said, we came here just for you.
Oh, wow. That's what's up.
Like, and I said, okay, go on the other side. I'll be over there after I go across the stage. Let's take pictures. Let's talk a little bit. And that's exactly what we did. And that just makes it all worth
that's
it.
That's mad
know?
Love right there, that's awesome.
I mean, I appreciate the heck out of you.
And honestly, like piggybacking off that, I didn't cosplay one day at the con. And I feel like that if you cosplay at a con and you don't, it can sometimes lead to two very different experiences. Like, no one was stopping me for autographs. No one was like asking me to take photos or anything. Mm-hmm. I could walk and wander and do anything whenever I want. On the flip side, whenever I was walking around with Donnie, everyone was stopping every 30 seconds like, yo, Luke Cage, let me get a photo. Right. Like, I can feel the love, but I can also see like how that can also prevent you from doing certain things at certain times.
When me and Darnell were walking together, I thought it was hysterical because each one of us would take three steps and then one of us got stopped. It was, yeah. Wait, Luke Cage, hold on. Click, click, click. All right, cool, let's go. Three more steps. Venom pool.
Did you notice that if you stop, that's the end of it?
Oh, yeah.
If you
yeah.
stop, if you just keep going or keep your head down, you're fine. As soon as you stop, then everybody goes, what? And then it's over.
I always stop for everybody. But the one that I will say actually was more was if I ever had somebody that complimented my costume. So if there was ever a Deadpool, if there was a Venom, if there was a Carnage, if there was a Spider-Man, there was one point a photographer stopped me and my girlfriend who was dressed as Gwenom, and he saw two Spider-Men and a Gwen Carnage sitting down. And he was like, oh, can I get you guys all posed together? Yeah, sure. I must have been there for like 30 minutes, not even an exaggeration at all.
Wow.
Of all these people walking up, trying to take pictures of us. And we only went through like three poses because there was not a chance to move.
Nikki's actually in the chat. And I do want to say what Nikki said.
Hey, Nikki.
Nikki said she was like, I have never been more in awe of the cosplays that she saw at the con. But she was actually like, she agrees with you, Bab. She's like, as much fun as it was, she wasn't expecting to be as overwhelmed as she was.
Yes.
She's saying that, you know, obviously, if you guys don't know the Party Nerds, we planned this out. We came with a group of like 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. You know, we have panels to see because as press, we can't just walk around and have fun. Like, it's kind of work.
It's a job.
And it is. And she said that, you know, next year, like, if we've learned from this, we'll plan it even better. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, yes, I do see, even as Luke Cage getting stopped, it can, you know, like, even when I was texting you guys, if they see you stand still, they're like, oh, photo op. They're like, excuse me, sir, can we just get a picture? Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to say no.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. I look forward to it. If I ever have downtime, I straight up go to the main lobby and
As
you guys know, I stay in character when I'm in costume. I walk back to my hotel room, twitching my head and walking through. Like,
psychopath.
And that's one of my favorite things. Jerv yelling out of his car.
That was the best.
I didn't even know. Wait, the funniest thing was I just heard somebody yelling at traffic. I didn't even know he was yelling at me. I didn't know what he was yelling. I turned around because I heard somebody yelling really, really angrily in what sounded like traffic. And I was like, oh, damn, I wonder what that is. And as I turn my head, I hear, Deadpool sucks! And then I see Jerv go, hi, Rava.
And then what was the first thing you put in the chat right after? You're like, oh, I'm going to this panel. Fuck you, Jerv. That's like a first, like immediate, seamless. It was great.
But yeah, no, I stay in character when I'm in cosplay. I walk back to my hotel room, twitching my head, crouched down. I terrified some of the hotel goers. A German woman refused to get on the elevator.
All right. Sounds about right.
And one thing I did want to give a shout out to, you know, the company that runs New York Comic Con, Reed Pop, because they really hooked us up. You know, they really took care of us. I mean, and on just on a grand scale, next week, I think we're going to be talking all about this con, you know, because all of us went to panels that we haven't even touched, you know. But just like in overall, like, I had a great time. I 100% agree with my brother. I feel like I got to know, this is the first time I actually walked around a con with Bravo, and I was like, you know what, no, I don't want to shave his beard right now. It's a lot different feeling, you know. But I just thought it was a great time, you know, and the simple fact that I'm looking forward to next year and the stuff going on again is just great.
Yeah, nah. I mean, like I said, we all had a great time up there. It was a dope experience for us. It was, I think, the first time we were all together, all the party nerds.
And we all got to spend time at a big function like that.
Yeah, so that was cool that we all could make it, because we all have different schedules. We were all juggling our schedules to make things happen and all. But that was pretty dope. So, yeah, shout out to the party nerds putting in that work for Comic Con.
Check out that YouTube video too.
Check out, and we got content coming out. I mean, we'll be posting all the content from the con.
We have a lot of videos. We have a lot of other photos. A lot of
stuff from Larry Cage, bunch of interviews and stuff like that.
If you go on Jimmy Fallon, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Oh, tonight.
It's Monday night. Monday night, Jimmy Fallon Bravo should be on that in his
Venom costume.
And shout out to Eight and Sam Beer Company, hooking us up all the time.
Yep.
And check us out next time. We out.
Woo! Party Nerds is out.
Party Nerds.